Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I'm Jamie Kennedy. This is Heat to Break It to You. This is the solo World is on Fire. Now, I'm about to start a new run in my life and my career that I feel sorry for people, because if you don't get it, you're a liability. No man is beyond reproach. Everyone shall be talked about. The pod still needs more love, but we are growing. We are growing. I've got a lot of crazy theories for you. Before I react to some videos, just know I'm fully committed to my own content creation. I have downsized my life to the bare necessities, so now I will build it up organically by only my own content creation. The money I've made from my career so far is tucked away, and now I'm on a new journey. Will I still act? Yes, of course. I have a movie coming out called Namaka. Put the graphic up sometime in September. Then it's going to stream in November. I have another movie called Portal in the Pines. I have multiple projects, but they're little. But hey, man, they're original. There's a lot of big projects out right now, and they're doing okay. We didn't have $225 million to make it. But guess what? Scream was a little movie. Malibu's was a little movie. Boiler Room was a little movie. Boogie Nights was a little movie. So, hey. It's all about making your own shit at a price and then growing. Do I love the legacy world? Of course, but I don't want to listen to anybody. And there's nothing nobody can tell me, motherfucker. I done it all. So now it is about what I want to do. And that is use my voice to spread my opinions. Now, before I get into the videos, I must tell you that I'm going to present something to you that is going to alienate half of my audience. Maybe three quarters. But it shouldn't, because we're seeing more and more stuff. What I'm trying to tell you is that I was born James Harvey Kennedy, May 25th, 1970. My father was Robert Foss Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy. My mother is Catherine Josephine Harvey. My name is James, after my grandfather. Harvey, after my mom's maiden name. Kennedy, after my dad. Those are three different legacies put together. And I tell you this stuff because, as a random speck that was formed somehow, there is more and more things happening that are very bizarre. But things aren't coincidences anymore, and things are weird. And now I don't think they're weird. Now I think it's numerology, and I think it's part of a plan. Steve Hanks really got me thinking on the term God's whispers. And I don't want to freak people out with the word God, because it gets all religious. It doesn't have to mean religion. You could say the creator's whispers, our boss's whispers, whoever put us here's whispers, that a great idea aren't your own. Now, what am I saying? I do this joke, but it's real. My mother had me when she was in her 40s, which considered now would be a felony. Okay? My mother had me in her 40s. My mother had two miscarriages before me. Some people call me the third. It's part of the joke. But if you think about it, let's break that down. People get freaked out. Oh, it's so sad. Oh, no. My mother had a ton of kids before. Two miscarriages, then me. And what is me coming into this world after two non-fruitions, two, God rest their souls and spirits that didn't make it out, ended up in the Philadelphia water system. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Am I saying too much? I hope I'm not disrespecting my mother's spirit, but what I'm trying to say is I do that as a joke, but I started thinking about it. This one that got out, fuck. It had heart problems. It had, it was the most popular kid in school up until eighth grade. It had a crazy class clown personality. Then it went to high school and had to figure itself out, then became popular again. Then it moved to Hollywood. I mean, let's just be real. This one was in Scream. It was in Romeo and Juliet. Shit, if I just was in Romeo and Juliet, that's enough forever. If I was just an extra in Dead Poets Society, that's enough forever. I've been in countless things. And then I've had a whole successful career as a comedian. That's a whole other thing. And then I have produced a ton of stuff. It's another, I mean, forget it. Forget it. I have done so many different things. And I was the third. So why? Am I good? Am I lucky? Am I at the right time? Sure. Or was I chosen? Is it nothing with me at all? And was I picked? Now, why? Why am I, you know, on this fucking truth journey? Why am I yapping so much? Why do I feel sometimes that I'm protected by the higher power? Maybe I'm ignorant, or maybe something's happening. What all I'm saying is, knock on wood, God rest their souls. I've had friends die. I've had other people go to jail. And then there's people that have been NPCs, and then there's me all throughout my life. Now, I tell people, if you work with me, you either excel or you perish. One of my assistants became a whore, a literal whore, fell in a crack pipe. I don't know where she is. It was early in my career. Another one of my assistants, one of the greatest guys, one of my best friends in the world, eventually died. He passed away. Sad. Another one of my assistants runs one of the biggest reality shows in Hollywood. And another of my ex-assistants used to run content at Yahoo proper. Another one became executive VP of The Voice. James Gunn was never my assistant, but he's ran two Marvel Cinematic Universes in DC. You could argue that I was early in his career. What I'm trying to tell you is, why am I at the baseline of so many things? That's nothing. I could tell you tons of things, but I'll let the internet do its job and find out all of my connections of people's origin stories. All of them. Do your research. I don't need to be the one that's saying it. And maybe somebody will make a video of an edit of the Jamie Kennedy parallel universes. And it's pretty wild as I've been thinking it. of all of the different people that have started right here, and I poured a little water on them. Now, some have crashed and burned, and some have thrived. Now, none of them work with me still. So there's something to that. I do something to them. You could just say I'm difficult, or you could say I scare them. I don't know. But generally, my reputation is that I'm a good guy. People love me. There's nothing not to like about me. If you don't like me, it's because you can't look at yourself. Because I will talk to you all night and we'll get through it. I just had a heck of the night with this young 22-year-old kid, and the kid held his ground and burned me a couple of times, and the crowd loved it. I respected him. We hugged after, and he said, that's what comedy show's for, right? We took a picture. David in San Diego, if you're watching, shout out you. Nah. What am I trying to tell you? Is that, am I a starseed? This should be a real thing that should be investigated. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you that, as you know, my father was the biggest alien enthusiast in the most healthy way. He didn't go full MUFON, but he was into it. Now let's talk about it. What I was born, how I was born, I said all this stuff. There are tribes in Ireland. I think I'm from Donegal, Ireland. My father is from Germany. Yes. There's that part. My family at one time was very wealthy before I was born. They had lost a lot of their wealth early in another generation. I still grew up nice, but I didn't grow up with uber wealth. But I grew up in a solo house, which was not a row home. And there's a small tribe of Kennedys out of Ireland, or probably all related. And the Fosses somehow, I don't know. I hope it's not related, but I think it's probably, if there's relatedness there. I mean, I might have that in my blood. I didn't ask for it. But I think families did that in the 1600s of like first cousins and third cousins. I think if you trace the genealogy, but I'm not sure. But with that comes the Kennedy ghost disease. Now you're going, what is that? Basically, we have a thing that happens to us and we feel sick, but we can't figure out what it is. And so for the last 3 months, I've been kind of off. Had a lot of different things. I couldn't sleep. I have sweats. My brain is buzzing. I get chills. I get itches. I get little hives. I get horrific bowel movements. I get a distended belly. Yeah, all of this stuff. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's for, oh, fuck. So you start thinking the worst thoughts. And I'm tripping. And I haven't had it like this. Had a little bit of it over COVID, and it wasn't COVID. Then when I had COVID, it was COVID. And I took all those tests, and then I had it a little before COVID, a little during. And then I haven't had it since COVID. I haven't had it. Like, I felt COVID revamp my system because I went through COVID. And once I did that, my system got so jacked up that whatever COVID is, good or bad, evil or not, it's my system beat it at that time. I've had it at least twice, possibly three times, I think. So I think you get strong. So it's feeling sluggish, all this stuff on planes, it's con, and I was getting flank pains. It's painting back. I was getting front of my pelvis pains. I was getting pains in my lower back. Yes, I know. It's everything you think. It's gallbladder. It's pancreas. Then it's your appendix. You know, if that blew up, then you're going, oh, fucking liver, all this stuff. And I wasn't jaundiced. My urine was clear. Was there blood on my stool? All this stuff. Anyway, none of that was there. And this is something that different members of my family get at different times. So I go to the hospital and I run a bunch of tests. And they're like, dude, your numbers are incredible. Incredible. Your urine is pristine. Your blood looks great. They scanned my whole body. They were like, we didn't find one fucking anything. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, what is it? He's like, I don't know. But he's like, clearly something's inflamed. We don't know, but you seem better. And since before I went to the hospital, I was feeling better, but then I have moments and now it's crazy because I am feeling better and they gave me pills to take and they say, only take them if you need them. And I haven't taken them. Because they gave me one Norco and whatever the fuck that is. I can see why people like opiates because I took that shit and I was like, but then I actually started feeling sick. I think heroin addicts throw up because I think it's heroin and whatever. So I took that and I didn't want to take another. I have a whole jar of it. I'm not going to take it because they said don't take it, but they said if you have any pain, do it. So I don't think I'm an addict because I'd be running to it. But long story boring is this. Knock on wood. I'm like, what is this? Why do I have this? My family has this. I probably lost a kidney because of this disorder. I probably have a pacemaker because of this disorder. They've been trying to get me since the beginning of time. Okay. I get at 15, I got a pacemaker on my chest. Okay. At 25, my left kidney was removed. At 35, I had a melanoma on my back. I don't even know what the penetration was. I don't think it was even a millimeter, which is good, but after certain millimeters, it gets in your thing and it's not good. So these are every 10-year events, right? So I'm like, fuck, man, heart, kidney, needle, fucking cancer, I'm beating them all. You ain't, no. And I'm like, I'm good now. I paid the health gods. Now it's been 20 years sending major thing, and I'm like, oh, fuck, the health gods are coming again. So what's my point? My point is they ran my shit and they gave me a super thumbs up. He's like, your urine is beautiful. Your blood is beautiful. I'm like, oh. So what am I saying? I'm saying that if you feel in the front of my stomach, on the right of my belly button, you will feel a little nobule. Now, I also have one in my calf. It's like a little beam. The one in the calf is some kind of fat globule or cyst or something. And it moves around. But if you cut it, I know what it is. I've seen videos of it. I just never got it cut out. The one on my stomach is kind of sitting there. Now, they did a whole scan. If you read the scan, they saw nothing. But if you push on my stomach, there's a nobule about this big. You know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. What did I say my father was into? What's all around us? Why am I living the life I'm living? Do you think, I'm starting to think that I need to biohack that part of my stomach because you can watch videos of this where people take out some sort of implanted device that they never knew was in them, i.e. alien implants. Now, do I 100% believe this? No. Am I seeing this to be a little hyperbolic? Of course. Do I want to make some content? Yes. But do I kind of believe it? Possibility? You 100%. Now, I should be able to say this and people should be able to go, in this world in 2025, we'll go, that's not a crazy idea. There will be weirdos that are like, oh my God, he's lost it. He's killing, he's jumped a shark. He's having a crash up. Or you can understand at first, this is a comedy channel. Or will we present things that we may be truthful in a funny way? So with a comedy channel, I am not Anderson Cooper, but we also on TikTok say by November, a major paper reported that an alien ship is coming, which is going to be Blue Beam, by the way. Let's hope it is, because the bottom line is, in 2025, is that such a crazy thing to say? So I'm saying, what if they're building me up? Tell me if I've lost it. There's another person who's well-to-do in this life, and he told me that he saw me in his ayahuasca trip wearing a robe leading people. Now, that sounds crazy. This is what this person told me. Why do I feel the need to preach more and more? I'm just saying ayahuasca can be drugs or it can be an alternative inversion. I'm just saying, why does my hair feel like it's growing? It looks like it's growing. Why is it that I'm eating better, but I'm getting more muscular without working out as hard? Why? When this thing beats me down, I can barely move. But when it's not, I can do pull-ups. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because I'm a product of the Romulans. I don't know. I'm just saying, what if I'm being prepped by the Galactic Council to be the star seed for good? My name is Jamie Kennedy. The name rings bells. Even if I wasn't famous, you go, that's an interesting name. You tell me, is there some truth to this? All right. You ready? Or I could just be allergic to gluten. All that could just be, well, you're allergic to gluten, dude. But I don't eat a ton of bread, but I do love pizza. You can't say that anymore. It's sad. You can't say you love pizza because the weirdos run the other way. But I just like actual sauce and the cheese and the bread. The actual pizza. Can you say that? Meanwhile, they opened the Voodoo Donuts on the corner of Melrose and fucking La Brea, and people are just down there fucking eating the devil donut. For entertainment purposes only. Now, let's react to some videos. This is wild. I'm being told it's real.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have one message for America. Welcome to Afghanistan.
What's up, Yusuf?
And the American souvenir.
Oh, it's not even on safety right now.
Ten-pound ramen fat.
Now, I'm told that that is an actual ad that was put out by the terrorist organization. That either that's a hostage or it was a guy that's like, I'm not being treated bad. I have no idea. I don't know if it's real, but I did see people said it was real. Here's what's crazy. Afghanistan looks lit. Let's just keep it 100. First of all, they say there's $1 trillion, maybe more, of minerals just in the dirt. Just in the dirt of Afghanistan. $1 trillion of gold and silver and pertite and all these different mites and tites and all of this shit. but you can't get to it because the terrain is fucking Indiana Jones ride, completely crazy. And if you try to go near it, they'll just start shooting at you. But they don't know how to mine it. They're not aware of how rich it is. And they're just... So they're like, hey, this guy's coming over. You can't even get the proper equipment to set up the mining because it has to be all leveled out and done. But you can't even start the infrastructure because rebels will just start shooting at you. This is what I was told by people in the government. Now, also... They say you'll never get to it because it's the world's number one poppy fields in the world, which protect heroin trade. And that we have a deal for the poppy seeds, and that's all illegal. Which goes back in the Oxycontin, which we put on the streets. You know the drill. So that is true. Now, another thing is Drew Carey and Kid Rock are the pioneers, and Jeff Ross, of these USO tours in terms of going places. And I believe all three, I know at least two of them, all three went to Afghanistan. Now, they said we couldn't go to Afghanistan when I was on tour because they said it was just too hot, meaning too dangerous. And I wasn't looking forward to going, but I was like, I gotta go because I can't be a pussy. So if they need me in Afghanistan, I have to go. And I just have to trust that they're going to protect me. And they were protecting me so much in Baghdad that it was like I was their only source. Me and Paul Wall and Stu and the cheerleaders were like, they loved us so much. They were like, you're such a source of entertainment that they did anything for us. So I thought, well, Afghanistan is even crazier, so they'll take care of us and we'll have to figure it out. So I wanted to go and they would not let us go, which I mean, I'm probably very happy that I didn't go. But one of the things is that just if you take your suitcase and these bugs get in, apparently these crazy bugs, if they get in, they multiply. And the next thing you know, you're bringing that shit to America and it's like an infestation. Like there's some crazy ass bugs that'll burrow in your neck. There was all types of shit. They said you get fucking kidnapped. You're a higher profile than a normal person. They'll keep all this shit. So they said it was the hottest zone. I mean, it's gotta be. I don't know if it's hotter in the Congo. I mean, these are lawless places. So I never went. But I believe my brothers did. And so what am I trying to tell you is that look how beautiful it looks. Look at that water. I don't know if they took pills and went swimming. They had fucking food. Looks like they had Uber Eats. So I have no idea. I don't know if that's going to be a good tourism video or people are going to run right over there. I don't know if he can eat. I don't even know if he can get in Pakistan. On your passport, there are certain countries that if you went to, another country won't let you in. That's why I have two passports. I'm trying to get a third. How many can I have? If I can get a third passport, I will really be on my fucking James Bond shit. It's all the same name, though. I got to get a different name. And I don't give a fuck that I'm saying that because, you know, I haven't been to Greenland. I haven't been to Antarctica. But these are other places. You need to get to these. I need to see these places. Anyway, I don't know what the deal with that is. That's incredible. I don't know.
Nine. These are the floods from Indonesia today, flooding from Nepal yesterday, floods in Arkansas today, New Mexico yesterday, historic flooding in New Zealand last week, flash floods in Oklahoma today, Texas just a few days ago, Bangladesh is getting hammered with floods as well. There was a sudden storm that flooded Split Creek 9. These are...
Look, I mean, if you want to go with one of the Bible things, there it is. It's crazy how they're not covered enough that I have to get on TikTok, and TikTok is user-generated, and you see it. That lady's legit. She reports stuff that no one talks about. The weather's been absolute bananas. You know that. Last week, we were hit with the tsunami warning. Did not happen, or an alert. Thank God. Russia, people are okay. It was terrible. And then 2 days after that, we had a baby earthquake here. And an earthquake, you know, I've been in enough of them now where you just kind of sit and you're like, okay, how high up am I? How sturdy is this building? And then you wait and it starts and you're like, ooh, ooh, and you're like, I'm gonna ride it out. Okay. But I mean, I'm in such a modern concrete complex that sure, if things went awry, it wouldn't be good, but it's pretty strong. So, you know, it'll have to be horrific. But you ride it out, you know? Even 94, what I did when we had 94, that was the craziest one of the craziest feelings of my life. It was like 4:18 in the morning. I tell people this, and it felt like somebody grabbed my bed. It felt like the devil. I said this because I don't know this, but I felt it came to me and just shook my bed violently to the point where I was hopping up and down. I almost fell off of bed. Never in my life. It was so, I just can't remember. I just can't tell you. It was so violent. And I was in a little guest garage, and it was the perfect structure to be because nothing was going to fall on my head. And just when it stopped and it lasted, it felt like it lasted 2 minutes, but it was probably, you know, 45 seconds, but just out of the blue. And I went out. When I climbed on my roof of my garage, and I just remember hearing dogs, it alarmed, and it was pitch black. And I looked down the street, and it was black. Everything was out. And eventually, the guy from the house, and I'm like, you feel that? And he's like, what? And people were just coming out, and you were just talking to people in the dark. But you couldn't see them. It was that dark. Where like the moon got earthquaked. It was nuts. I haven't felt anything like that since. But that wrecked a ton of shit. So, yeah.
I wanted to say this about Shane Gillis, and frankly, it's about the Hinchcliffes and the Schultzes and a lot of the comedians today. And I do think Shane Gillis had funny jokes last night. I do think he has funny jokes in general at times. But I think my issue with these guys is for so many of them, it seems like the whole thing is this implicit, can you believe I'm white and I'm saying what I'm saying?
I mean, I can do this whole thing. I'm just going to tell you, stop talking. This is not for me to respond to. I don't talk about other comedians. I don't I talk about comedy in the world, or I talk about my version of it. But to me, from the goats to open micers, unless someone really comes at me, like it's a fraternity, and it depends on where you've risen in it. A sorority, it's everything. It's a community. Excuse me, it's of all people. And it's a battle, it's a war, and it's a privilege. So it is to be protected. And so we all know each other, the people that are doing it. So, you know, we should protect each other. Unfortunately, there is some infighting. It'll weed itself out. But, I don't know this guy. Somebody said he was a radio guy, but this is, I'll play it for you and I'll comment. I'll try not to stop, but I want you to really, I'll try to just, okay, so just comment as you say.
I wanted to say this about Shane Gillis, and frankly, it's about the Hinchcliffes and the Schultzes and a lot of the comedians today. And I do think Shane Gillis had funny jokes last night. I do think he has funny jokes in general at times.
Shane Gillis is one of our greatest voices, super talented right now, and his legacy is building every day. Shane Gillis is one of our leaders in the community. Okay. So, and he's an insane talent, because when he was starting his ascent, they clipped his wings and then he grinded.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
To be even bigger and cocked down the Clippers. He cocked down those that tried to kill his ascension because he's just talented. And you cannot clip talent. So already for some dude sitting in his bed in a Dawkins shirt or whatever he's wearing, or MMA, excuse me, I think Shane Gillis is funny jokes at times. Dude, you're not allowed to talk about this. It's not your world, okay? So this is not your world, my man. At times, Shane Gillis's worst set would be some of the greatest comedians' best sets. It would certainly be any NPC's. His worst joke would be any NPC's dream to be able to even come up with. So this is why I'm a little hot on this subject, is it's not your world, my man. I don't know who you are, meaning I do know you're a radio person, I think. You don't do comedy. You don't do the clubs. You're not in the game. So if you want to come after an open micer, which I wouldn't suggest you do either, at least if you want to say something about someone who's new at, I get it, but not one of our greats, not one of our red hot at the moment, not red hot because of anything other than he's red hot because he's great. You understand that? He's great. So, and he's only there because he's great. There's no nepotism. There's no money involved. There's no DEI. There's no industry plan. It's just him being great. So this is why I get so hot at this subject, is people like this, because I hate it when people talk out of school. You can have opinions on anything, but you have to understand what you're talking about. The only reason people talked about the ESPYs was Shane Gillis. The ESPYs were awesome this year because of Shane Gillis. And he fucking went in, and he didn't even go hard. He went what we would all do and love to see at a club every night. His jokes were hilarious. They killed the night before at the store, and they killed on TV. He murdered it. I was dying laughing. I was watching the clips dying laughing. Everyone was talking about how funny they are. They're hilarious. So this is not your world. And this is the problem with the internet. So I just, you know, I'm doing you a solid by reacting, but what you should do at this point is just go, okay, maybe Jamie has a point. Because I wouldn't tell MMA fighters one thing about, and I don't know if you're an MMA fighter or whatever, I wouldn't tell you how to do a leg sweep. It's just not my world. I couldn't tell you that. I don't know it. I wouldn't tell a candle maker what wax to use. It's not my world. So why do people think they can tell comedians what they know? Which is probably scarier to a lot of people than being a candle maker or even an MMA fighter. Some people say they'd rather fight than stand in front of a crowd.
But I think my issue with these guys is, for so many of them, it seems like the whole thing is this implicit, can you believe I'm white and I'm saying what I'm saying?
Jink Shane said anything about being white. He might have been like, can you believe what I'm saying? But he wasn't like that. He was just like, what can I say on TV? What can I get past the censors, bro? There's censors. It's ABC. It was American Broadcast Company. And they're strict. If you've ever done something on television, I don't know if you have, there's a lot of hoops to get through. So for Shane to be able to get through those hoops and get these really smart, dark, cutting jokes that you're not going to see on The View or Good Morning America. The fact that he got them in at the crowd in a funny way and the crowd still rocked with him. I don't know what people were saying. The crowd was there for him. They were laughing their faces off. It's a huge, huge win and a huge task to do it. So he's not saying the white part. He's just trying jokes that he hopes will make the broadcast.
Ooh, look at the edge. And those...
I don't think he ever said, look at my edge.
Jokes generally aren't very funny.
You're wrong. Listen to the laughs. He was talking about subjects that are very much in the zeitgeist. Things that people all think that don't say. WNBA jokes, different player jokes, all that shit. You're wrong. It's not your wheelhouse. I don't know why you're talking about this.
In fact, last night you saw Gillis almost pointing out that they weren't funny. But
it never happened.
Like, he had to do them. Like, there was a risk involved. And then
there was a risk. The FCC can fine you.
They show a black guy laugh at it. It's like, oh, it worked there.
Yes. It's called, unfortunately, we live in a society where this guy was already canceled once because it was a race-related joke that was taken out of context. So, yes, he needs another race to co-sign it. He didn't say point the camera there. He just did the joke. The studio, the network pointed to the black guy and he was laughing. So, again, this is just somebody that's never, I don't know if you've ever done television, my friend.
It's not that these guys can't be funny. It's that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Roger Ebert's here, everyone.
These specific jokes that they're attempting to do aren't...
They weren't attempted. They were actually done. They were said on TV and they're recorded in history forever.
Funny. And I don't even think the intent is to be that funny. It's to show you they're willing to do it. And I ask you, who is that for?
Just stop talking. Because it's not your wheelhouse, dude. Who's that for? It's for everyone who's laughing. It's for people that watch it. It's for all of us that laugh. It was the Comedy Store crowd that would laugh. It was the crowd on Kimmel that laughed. I mean, dude, what's the point of this post? Did I say, like, are you a cop? This is the internet, man. Everybody has a voice, but a lot of people should have laryngitis. It's not a diss to you, bro. I don't know what your specialty is. I think you're a radio DJ. I'm not sure. It just isn't your world, man. I can't tell you that enough. I've never seen you in a comedy club. I don't know. Do you play the improv? Do you play the factory? Have you ever done a college? I mean, have you ever opened up for a huge rock band or played a casino? I don't know. Have you ever done comedy on television? If you haven't, we don't need the opinion, you know. I would never tell a firefighter how to run into a burning building. I don't understand why people think, not just an opinion is fine, but a detailed opinion and a wrong take. Thank you. Sorry, bro.
What are the big topics now? AIDS, I would imagine, comes up.
Well, yeah, I tell them what I think about AIDS.
What do you think about AIDS?
Remember the fairy tale that...
Now, mind you that Joan Rivers is a pioneer, ahead of her time, was never booked on Tonight Show after trying so many times and finally got past the booker when Johnny Carson said, well, where are you been? I forget the impression. And she goes, tell your booker. Like, she could never get past the booker. She became one of Johnny's favorites. She then did a guest spot or something on Fox for a talk show. I think she guested for somebody there. And then they gave her her own show and she never ran it by Johnny, and Johnny blackballed her after that. Was, you know, all she had to do was kiss the ring. But this, she had her own show. It was a huge show. Frank Zappa is an incredible artist. Valley Girl. He's done so many things, but he's a real counterculture. Not really. He's just a normal culture to me. He's a guy that's just, he's a super alternative thinker. He's not brainwashed at all. He's a great musician, but you can also call him one of the first trolls, a super enlightened comedian. He was a subversive comedian in a way. You can call him Andy Kaufman on the keyboard. Like, he really is, but he's not. He was really just an artist and expressed himself in many different ways, but he had such amazing takes. And listen to that. To talk about this stuff in the 80s, like, they're 4 years ahead of their time here, and let's look at it.
What are the big topics now? AIDS, I would imagine, comes up.
Well, yeah, I tell them what I think about AIDS.
What do you think about AIDS?
Remember the fairy tale they told you about the green monkeys? They tell you about these green monkeys, and then they remind you that this is a sexually transmitted disease. I have one big question. Who's pluking the monkeys? So, once you get past the, you know, that seems like kind of an implausible theory if you look at it that way. So I offer three other possible scenarios. One, because remember, it is announced suddenly, one day in November, 700 people died from a disease we never heard about before.
That's true. I'll never forget this. I will never forget this. First of all, there's definitely some monkey fuckers out there, but it's actually hard to fuck a monkey. And you're like, how do you know that? But I was actually thinking that as he was saying it before I put this clip up, because monkeys are violent and they're vicious and they're not gonna, you can't rape a monkey. Like, I don't think you could rape a chicken, but it might be easier to rape a chicken, which is terrible to say, than to rape a monkey, because monkeys can fight and scratch the collar. I mean, seriously, think about the actual mechanics of butt fucking a monkey. But for years, we just accepted that. That's where it started. I butt fucked a monkey in Africa. Africans always get the short end of the stick because they don't have internet. So we're like, oh, just blame it on Africa. And they're like, whoo. So it's fucked up, right? Africa, we owe you a lot of apologies because we just say shit and Africans is over there making a wooden pot. They're like, what we do? So, yeah, so that's what was sold to us, is that some dude butt fucked the monkey. It could have been an African. I also thought it was like a weird white guy at some point, like a guy with glasses. That was like an explorer, they might have said at some point. Anyway, that was whatever. And this was in 86. So this was the height of AIDS. This was Madonna. This was MTV. It was everything. My whole generation was raised on fear. Where Jack Nicholson was banging everyone without a condom, and our next generation was like, oh my, we talked to people through a bubble, right? This is before COVID. So it was Live Aid, AIDS here, Ronald Reagan, AIDS in the cabinet, AIDS, like fucking braids, AIDS, everything with old play cards, old maids, AIDS, everything was AIDS, that sound in the 80s. So they had. So they have this, and I was cleaning my bike, and I want to say, I think it was this summer. I think it was 82. No, I think it was 83. I think it was the summer of 83. And it was in, whenever I had my Diamondback white BMX, I had a killer bike. I bought it at work for it. It was the scene. I used to go to BMX tracks, started to do bunny hops and stuff. So I want to say, I mean, I might have outgrown it by 83, but I'm going to say summer of 83. So in my basement, I was watching Channel 3, which is NBC News, Philadelphia.
A mysterious illness has taken over downtown Philadelphia today. Three homosexuals have died. Oh, they were at the gay clubs. Now there was a wild gay scene. I don't even know what that was. You know, I'm like 13, right? And they were like, it was transmitted through gay sex. I was like, you can probably find this somewhere. Transmitted through gay sex. I was like, and it was like, it is a targeting has affected the homosexual population. So I didn't know what any of that was. I didn't know. You know, a gay dude was like, oh, he's a sissy. That's what we would say. We didn't know. I didn't even know much about sex at that point. Not that I do now. And I remember I was cleaning my bike because I was like care of purchase, and meaning I worked hard. I'd get this bike. And so I oil it and spokes. And it was like my car. It was like one of the coolest bikes. And so I had this bike and we all took care of our bikes. There's a little group of us. And I just remember going, yeah, that's weird, but it didn't think about my world. But it was reporting downtown Philly. Now, I'm sure Detroit had a similar report. I'm sure Los Angeles. So it was this thing. And then, like, starting that year, beginning of the school year, AIDS. And there was a kid in my class, and he was sick one day. And some kid, they go, is Ronald here? And another kid goes, he has AIDS.
you know, and everybody giggled. And then TJ's like, what's that? Like, it was a terrible joke.
So, like, it just started, it blew up overnight. I'll never forget it. The summer of 80, I want to say 83. And it just blew up overnight. So, what Frank was saying, this is all true so far.
But it came out of nowhere.
It was like everyone was having a nice childhood and then AIDS.
One possibility, it came from outer space. Another one, it came from a government laboratory. Not saying whose, could have escaped, could have been done on purpose as a test on civilians. The other possibility is it came from a private sector laboratory for money. Because when they find the pill that you can take to let you do it again, somebody's going to make some money. There's no question about that.
Fascinating. What are the big...
He died early. Shout out, Frank. Love your sons. Deliz and Lamet. They've been very key players in my life. Then Joan died after a long life, but still a little bizarre how she died. So that was 39 years ago. Is it still ahead of its time? Yes. It was on Fox TV. How do you think that would go now on Colbert? Well, you can't go on Colbert. But he would do a skit with Dancing Needles. And I think Colbert's funny. He's great. And I only met him once and he was a nice guy to me. But I definitely think he was doing the bidding of the higher-ups. And hey, he was making his money, it was his choice.
Individual named Fitz. My testimony will touch on this matter, and I've been asked to approach with extreme caution.
So, do you remember the Bayside Mall? Of course you do. It was the first day of 2024. And then remember the first day of 2025. The last two New Year's days were insane between aliens and mass shootings and bombs. So there is this guy. Now, I don't know if it's real, but his name is Fitz. And there are videos that I have seen. It's impossible to trust because of AI, but they do look like Venom. And the Bayside Mall, if you look at the actual police response, there is reports that no one has ever seen a response like this on any event. So it's like a movie where they show up and they're like, Sarge, over here. What? Like, it was like that. And so the denying of the police presence, you cannot deny. There's enough video that they were responding to something insane, otherworldly. Like, it was 100 cop cars. And there was no shooting reported. It was kids fighting was the official narrative. So this guy Fitz apparently got the shit. And they're going, where's the video? Well, there is video, but then everyone says it's AI. And I'm sure a lot of it is. But there is a video of shit that looks like a portal. Could be AI. But there's these creatures that are tall and black. Like they look like tar plasma. And they eventually shift. And they look like Venom. They do look like Venom. They look like the character Venom. They don't have the teeth, but they ship. They shapeshift. So two things. This guy Fitz apparently has his footage. Apparently, now the men in black and Venom, they came in. Apparently phones were confiscated. I have to have this verified in the comments. But apparently... people said they came in and they could have did a wipe. Now, listen to me, the men in black. Fitz also could be lying. He could be a troll. He could be doing it for views. He could not even be a real guy. But there was a guy that had a TikTok named Fitz and I saw that. It's all pretty fascinating. It's been a year and a half.
and the story kind of was buried. So before I get into this, there they are there. Those are the black kind of molding things, which I, to me, seems real. Like there is a robot now that can completely diffuse and go back together. It's a globule. You can look it up on TikTok. That it's a real creation of our government, that this robot can go like T-1000 through things and then reassemble. That's 100% real. At least it's presented as a real invention by our government. So these had that kind of properties. The issue is there's none. The reason why this is interesting is because this is a real government panel. This was a guy who was a big whistleblower. This is really in front of actual government employees if he's saying this. So this is not fake. But here's what's even crazier. It's really simple. All you have to do is understand that if you believe the world is run by dark forces, we'll call them satanic forces, then it makes complete sense. Because it is revelation of the process in plain sight. So why is the movie Men in Black? Why is that so unbelievable now? Why would they show you that? Well, this is what we're going to do to you, but we have to show you so we don't get the bad karma. So we'll make it in a movie. That makes complete sense to me. Venom is the same thing. Let's make a movie about this thing that might end up coming in our real world. If you believe that this is, forget all the religious stuff. Don't run away from this. If you just believe, just like there's other groups of people, like I said, Irish, the Catholics, the Greeks, whatever. Let's just call these guys the saints. And if you believe that they secretly run the world and these are the ways they have to survive is by showing you before they do it through any forms of media necessary, it makes sense to me that it could be real.
The incident at the Bayside Marketplace in Miami on January 1st is currently classified. And I.
So now it's a classified thing. So why are they hiding?
I've been instructed to refrain from divulging certain details due to the ongoing nature of the investigation. However, in the interest of transparency, I will provide what little information I am authorized to share.
Not authorized to share it? That's weird.
A New York resident we will be referring to as Fitz was indeed present at the Bayside Marketplace on the night of the incident. The DOD has confirmed that Fitz may have witnessed something classified. Reports indicate that this individual captured footage of the event in question, footage that, as of now, remains classified and has not been retrieved by the federal government. This footage, if revealed, could have profound implications. Not an individual named...
So apparently they haven't gotten his phone. Maybe they have now. I don't know. I'm pretty sure this is real. I won't post it if it's not. It's something to think about. That's crazy. That's insane. Who just pushed that off the shelf? Did you hear that?
something fell
when I showed this slide. Is this true?
Dr. Marks here. I'm the gentleman that was on the Sean Ryan podcast that talked about pedophilia and explained how they're networked. And on his show, I clearly communicated a couple of years now ago that the Epstein list would never be revealed. And I gave great insight to it, but I want to take my time now to explain to you.
This is Epstein for Dummies.
All that are watching, why it's not coming out. And this is coming from someone who, one, hunts pedophiles and protects children through our task force. But the other, I mean, the heart reason is because I was a kid who was abused as a child. So this is the reality that I want people to understand. And the reason why the Epstein list will not come out, like I've said from the beginning, is because it is an intelligence operation. The best form of currency right now for control and power in our world is videos or pictures of children being abused by certain adults. When you have those as leverage, you can control a person to make decisions that will shape nations and truly make the difference in both political, legal, business, and world economics.
That's so sick, but I 100% believe that. It is so sick. But I think we're all becoming aware of this dark, dark secret. Like, it's beyond evil.
The moment you prosecute a pedophile that would be on that list, you lose the leverage on them, and you also risk them telling the rest of the story. So here's my advice. There should be righteous indignation. I have it. Many of you feel lied to, which you were, by our FBI and DOJ. But I'm telling you that those victims are now adults. And what you miss is what we do every day. And that's protect children in our country and around the world by those who are still doing the pedophilia, that are still abusing kids. And listen, I just want to say this. It's very important for you to understand. There are millions of children who suffer abuse nightly in the U.S. And because of that,
it's just terrible. Here's a lot of people's theories is that it's such a rampant, horrible thing. It's such a widespread use of blackmail. And it's apparently so on so many people that once you pull the thread and thread and the thread, you'll unravel not just the network, you'll unravel society and the world. And my whole thing is, which I think a lot of people believe, is let's unravel it. Let the whole thing burn and start anew. But they're basically saying, oh, fucking regimes will fall, good. Banks will topple, great. Everything. What if we're a world built on the backs of just tortured children? How can we even begin to live in it? Think about that. The darkest thing keeps us running. And it's like, oh, the structures are set in place. What? Now, I don't think there's one normal, red heart, a beautiful heart American, a beautiful part person, beautiful hearted person that would want to live in that society. I think all of us would disrupt our lives to have a society built on normalcy and not fucking weird, sicko, demonic, fucking just. unthinkable evil.
And it's not going to stop. And it's not going to stop people from searching, because they are. And there's too many people that are awake now. And he's, you know, this guy's one of the tops in the field. He fights it. And sad, he was also a victim. But he makes a lot of sense. And it's like, it's almost like he's saying it's too big to fail, which is crazy. I mean, he would know more than all of us, but how can we do this? How can we let it happen?
So I think it's so crazy how we could be told things in advance and people still are oblivious and just ignore, maybe you never heard or think it's a joke about different things. But in this particular case, how is it that we are being told by scientists from NASA that there is an alien mothership that's coming to the Earth? First was by November, and now they're saying that, oh, it sped up, and now they're expecting it by September. Dr. Carol Rosen, who was Wernher von Braun's, I guess you can say, at the end of his life, his assistant, for lack of a better word, she told us firsthand what Dr. von Braun said on his deathbed, that the last deception is the UFO alien deception, and to not believe any of it.
Now, obviously, this is a big thing. So, Wernher von Braun was a Nazi. And so when they say, oh, you love all this stuff, we hate Nazis. Well, you, a lot of stuff that you like and you use were made by Nazis. Just know that. Just go down to Alabama, somewhere like Birmingham. There's a bunch of NASA stuff there. Whatever it is. And it's all German. So this is a German town. A lot of like German food. They're all Nazis. And they created a lot of our space programs. So, and the argument is Project Blue Beam will be a fake thing to usher in the one world government, the one world religion. We're all going to band together now to fight. So that would mean that all of these things are a war. Everyone doesn't hate each other. The powers that be were doing all this stuff to distract us. Or they keep all the money, and now we're going to be super minions. So that means that Israel and Gaza really aren't fighting. Which is hard to believe. It's a commitment to something that's so dark. But the argument is Blue Beam. I don't know if everyone's on board with it. Maybe not. Maybe just the big countries. So he says the last deception. So also the other guy, Jeremy Corbell, I need to have him on my pod, and he says this as well. So if it's not real, then what is it?
But here we are in 2025 with short memories, and we're hearing that aliens are coming. And they're going to be here in September. And it's, again, if you saw my last video, so funny how everything has to happen in September. The UN two-state solution with Israel. Now aliens are coming in September. I wonder exactly what they know that a lot of people don't know, but a lot of Christians who are awake are aware of. So guys, always, I end these videos, repentance. Seek the Lord Jesus. Repent on a daily basis. Repent, repent, repent. And the time is almost here. And watch out for this deception. This is crazy, y'all. Peace.
He's not wrong. Like, get one with your creator, whatever you believe. Try to make sure you're, you know, clean slate of your life here. I'm sorry. I want to say that now. For anything I've done that's gone against the big guy. I'm sorry. I think I've lived a good life. I definitely am not perfect, but I don't think I've done anything that's horrific. So I'm repenting right now to my followers. But if it is a deception, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm too tired now. But yeah, Blue Beam, all this is real. You know what to do. Let's just like and subscribe. I don't know. Let's see. Past September, and then we go past November. We'll see. And then it's like at some point, it's oil crime wolves.
Everyone's talking. They're blockers. That's not why I came to Hollywood. Fucking backwards.
Bullshit.
I hate to break it to you.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.